AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, a low-time VFR pilot on a long cross-country flies into IMC and learns to appreciate thorough training and helpful controllers. Ride along with us in A Murky Michigan Trip by Tom Kern. As a fairly new VFR pilot with 120 total hours, I was very excited about an upcoming flight from my home airport in Blue Ash, Ohio, India Sierra Zulu, to my favorite vacation spot, Traverse City, Michigan, Tango Victor Charlie. I was looking forward to the opportunity to fly this long cross-country solo flight, and doing it during the fall color season was a bonus. I spent a great deal of time flight planning my route, checking with flight service to make sure I had the current NOTAMs, and reviewing the weather to ensure it was going to be a VFR day. As I checked with flight service the evening before the flight, everything looked great. The weather forecast for the morning along the entire route was perfect, with high ceilings and unlimited visibility. The morning of the flight, I called the FBO and asked them to take Piper Archer 5353 Foxtrot out of the hangar and top off the tanks. To my surprise, the FBO informed me the airplane was out of service for minor mechanical issues. Another Piper Archer was available, basically identical to 53 Foxtrot, except that it only had a basic VFR panel, a single navcom, and no autopilot or wing leveler. I told him that that would work out great and to prepare the other Archer for my use. I quickly checked the weather with flight service and heard that the route was still VFR all the way. But the forecast for Traverse City was now including a note stating a chance of light showers with ceilings of 4,500 feet and scattered clouds at 3,000 feet. I performed a very detailed pre-flight on the airplane and departed Blue Ash under clear skies. As I climbed to 4,500 feet MSL, I was amazed by the beauty of the fall colors from above. I had a VFR sectional on my knee and was tracking my progress via my flight plan toward the Dayton VOR. Everything progressed smoothly as I crossed western Ohio and northeastern Indiana. As I entered Michigan, I began to notice that the ceilings were getting lower. I contacted Flight Watch at Lansing. They advised me that Lansing was 10,000 overcast with unlimited visibility, and Traverse City was 7,500 scattered with 10 miles visibility. Then they stated the same precaution I had heard earlier, that Traverse City had the chance of light rain showers and ceilings of 3,000 feet. Since everything seemed okay, I continued on past Lansing and into northern Michigan. The fall colors were fantastic, and I continued to follow my progress along the VFR sectional. Farther north, I noticed the ceilings were continuing to lower and get thicker. As I progressed toward Cadillac, I descended to 3,000 feet MSL. Passing Cadillac, I descended to 2,500 feet MSL to stay 500 feet below the cloud deck, which now hovered at about 3,000 MSL. About 10 miles beyond Cadillac, it started to rain lightly, but quickly turned to moderate, and then heavy showers. As a good VFR pilot, I did exactly as I was trained to do when encountering IMC weather. I turned 180 degrees and started back toward the Cadillac airport. Unfortunately, the weather behind me was even worse. So here I was, a 120-hour VFR pilot, in the middle of a rainstorm in IMC. I quickly remembered the 3 hours of instrument training, which had been conducted in actual IMC, and 8 hours of night training my instructor had insisted I take before he would sign me off for the private pilot check ride. I focused on scanning the 4 primary instruments and made sure I had the airplane straight and level. I then contacted Minneapolis Center and advised them that I was a VFR pilot en route to Traverse City and that I had encountered IMC. They provided me with a transponder code, and I advised them of my location. They were extremely calm and advised that for me to receive radar coverage, I would need to climb to 3,000 MSL. I responded that climbing to 3,000 MSL would put me in the clouds and that I was not instrument rated. They then advised me that the present and forecast conditions for all airports within 100 miles of my location were IFR, or going to IFR, and that I could either attempt to reach Traverse City VFR on my own or climb to 3,000 and receive radar vectors for an ILS approach to Traverse City. Since there are numerous TV and radio towers south of Traverse City, I decided that scud running was not a good option. As I climbed into the clouds, I was pretty terrified, but tried to remain focused on my instrument scan and was somewhat amazed that I could keep the airplane climbing and on course. As I dialed the ILS frequency into the one navcom, I then realized that the airplane didn't have a glide slope, so the approach quickly turned into a localizer approach to runway 28. As I turned toward the localizer, Minneapolis Center handed me off to the Traverse City Tower and advised me that Traverse City was now 1,000 overcast with 3 miles visibility and rain. I thanked them for their assistance and switched over to the tower. The tower in Traverse City has no radar coverage, but it was obvious the controllers at Minneapolis Center had advised the tower of my situation, as they were very helpful and calm. As I centered the needle on the localizer, I began slowing down and descending from 3,000 feet to the MDA of 1,360. For several minutes, it seemed like I would never see the ground, but at 1,600 feet, I broke out of the clouds, and there in front of me was a 6,500-foot runway. I made a respectable landing and taxied to the GA ramp, fully expecting to be called to the tower to explain my situation, but no such call ever came. 2 days later, I flew back to Blue Ash in perfect VFR conditions. I began instrument training the next day. Looking back on this situation, I now see there were several major warning signs I chose to ignore. The first was to accept an aircraft that was only VFR equipped. Even though I was a VFR pilot, an IFR equipped airplane provides you significantly more options even when flying VFR. My second mistake was not to discuss the weather changes in more detail with Flight Watch. If I had done so, I would have been aware of the significant decrease in barometric pressure occurring over northern Michigan and would have been able to forecast the rainstorm that I encountered. My last mistake was continuing on when I first noticed the ceilings were dropping. I waited way too long to take action, and the result was that I got into a situation that was far beyond my capabilities. Fortunately, I had taken flight instruction from an individual who believed in training even a basic VFR student in some real IFR and night conditions. That training proved invaluable to me that day, and now, some 28 years later, I realize just how fortunate I was that day. The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.